Be really great to roll a one, but I didn't. I rolled a two.
Oh, and that's nothing.
And that's nothing.
Has no redeeming value whatsoever.
Am I a talking dog?
Hi, doggy.
And that's very stupid.
Take it or leave it.
This is my house.
Allow me to introduce you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Disaster Piece. My name is Justin.
My name is Steve.
And on this show, we like to cover the weirdest, most calamitous decisions in pop culture history that led to some of the weirdest products of our time. And this month, we're focusing our lens a little bit, you know?
Yeah, we're really locking in here in April.
Yeah, you know, and April obviously is famous for a couple things. You know, we got famous showers.
famous for its showers. Yeah, absolutely.
You know, a little, little dude came back from the dead.
Yeah, that's right.
420, Hitler's birthday.
420, baby. Yeah, oh, happy 420 was yesterday. And Hitler's birthday was yesterday. So, you know, I hope to whichever one you celebrate, I hope it was a great day for you.
And something else happened approximately 113 years ago. Steve,
approximately or like exactly?
Almost
113 years
almost
ago.
Exactly. Yeah, now actually
113 years in a week.
And yeah, a week ago and 113 years.
Yes.
Probably one of the most famous disaster pieces in history.
Yeah. The Titanic went down, baby. That big old ship hit a big old iceberg, and it was real sad until some white dude made a billion-dollar movie about it. Now we fucking love it.
And now we love it so much that we're not just watching movies, romantic movies about it. We're also able to sort of live in the world. I mean, I sent Steve recently, there's a really tacky Titanic candle you can get that.
Oh yeah, the scent. What is that? What do you think that smells like? The Titanic candle.
I don't know.
This is sort of a cottage industry now where there are like candles that smell like theme parks, like the Pirates of the Caribbean water is very specific, so somebody tries to emulate that. This candle smells like the Haunted Mansion, which I get that. Disneyland has a very distinct smell. Carnivals have a distinct smell, but does it just smell like the ocean? I mean, there would be a million smells on the Titanic.
I know.
Depending on, like, does it smell like steerage? Because that would not be good. You know?
Yeah, does it smell like caviar and fancy dresses? Or does it smell like a bunch of, you know, Polish people shoved into the smallest rooms on board?
Because, you know, that scene in the Titanic movie that's really cute where they do all the Irish dancing, that's really fun. But if you think of the era and where we were with hygiene, that was probably a very stinky little dance number.
Yeah, that was a dank room.
Pretty dank.
But, you know, we're not here to talk for 30 minutes about a candle.
No, we're going to do that next week.
Yeah. But in this month, which we have dubbed Catastanic.
We did. I can say it now. Catastanic. I finally learned how to say it. It's in my brain.
Yeah,
as we wrap this up.
It only took a couple of weeks of practice looking in the mirror. But we are covering, you know, something that on the surface is very fun, which is probably not the apt description for a real tragedy where hundreds of people died. Steve, what are we talking about?
Today we're talking about what I was originally saying, the Titanic board game, but what is crazy that this is a Titanic board game, much like the Minecraft movie we were just talking about.
Yeah.
There are many Titanic board games, but this one is the one that is called Titanic, the board game.
Correct.
And it is just that. It is a board game centered around the Titanic.
Yeah, this is Titanic, the board game.
Yes.
Came out
the
in
Centennial Collector's Edition.
Yeah, we played the Centennial Collector's Edition, which obviously came out in 2012, 100-year anniversary of the sinking of the Titanic. But the original game came out in 1998, obviously spurred by the success of 1997's James Cameron's Titanic movie.
Yes.
But this one is not, you know, it's not about Jack and Rose. This is about, we're on the Titanic, the OG.
Yeah.
And we're simply playing as passengers, experiencing all the joy and wonder of being on that ship.
I guess. Is there any joy and wonder in this game? There wasn't a whole lot playing it because it just ended up being fairly frustrating. But I get, yeah, I guess. Do you feel like after playing this, Justin, a little more connected to the people who were on the Titanic?
Well, here's the interesting thing is that, yeah, as Steve was alluding to, the frustration of this game, which we'll explain how it functions, but I would say 75% of the main mechanics are running around the Titanic and gossiping with each other. It really made it seem...
And that sounds fun.
It does sound fun, yeah. If there's like some like intrigue and secrets, but it's mostly just people being like, hey, you brought your dog on board? You're going to have to pay me $50 for me to not report you.
But there was dogs on the Titanic.
Yeah, like, according to the animated movie we watched, there was a ton of them.
Well, yeah, there's lots of them. It's kind of that, and then it's just sort of... Like, again, we're saying there's no strategy in this game. That was our big takeaway afterwards. So it is a game where you just sort of, like, roll. It's a lot of luck. It's kind of like advanced Chutes and Ladders.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
We'll get into it. There was one like extremely frustrating little square that you could land on that I landed on, I think, once or twice. That was like just truly insane that someone would make this the mechanics of the game. We'll get into that later as we go through it. But yeah, you can tell that if this thing came out in 1998, it was rushed.
Yeah. Yeah, because folks, for this episode, not only are we just going to talk about this weird board game that is obviously capitalizing off a real tragedy, but Steve and I, we sat down and played it with two of our very good friends, board game experts Paul Ramsdell and Ellen Gutowski.
Hey Ellen, what do you how you feeling about playing this Titanic board game?
I've never felt this good about anything in my life.
Really?
Yes. It's my new favorite game I haven't even played yet.
You're going into this with what people thought getting on the Titanic.
Yes, like, it's an unsinkable game.
Paul, how are you feeling?
Oh, I'm excited. I love board games and I love the Titanic. And I'm excited to sink. Or I guess you're not supposed to, probably.
We had them hop on board with us. We all assumed the roles of various passengers and we tried to escape the Titanic.
Yeah.
We did it. We did some real on-the-ground research.
One of us did it. Okay. One of us escaped the Titanic. All right.
Three of us drowned tragically.
Yes. And one of us, I guess since this game takes place on, it's like 2 days before the sinking.
Yeah, it's like the 10th or 12th or something.
So my character just sat in the lifeboat for 2 days, I guess.
You were really prepared.
They heard some gossip that the ship wasn't as unsinkable as people had been saying, so they just got in that lifeboat.
Here is the, on the back of the board game, here's the official, you know, two-sentence pitch. Welcome aboard the RMS Titanic. Gossip with other passengers, receive telegrams, and collect all five pieces of your personal property to advance from second class to the first class section of the ship. But watch out, you might get put back into steerage, or worse yet, never make it to your lifeboat on time. It's like, oh, you might go to the stinky part of the ship, or you might die. It's like, yeah, that's bad.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty bad. I also love right underneath that it says, includes fact sheet about the RMS Titanic, which we assume was just they got some kind of education grant by including this fact sheet about the Titanic, which is like, it's big and it sank.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's basically
pretty much
it.
Yeah.
But yeah, this game is really interesting because obviously we decided to cover it because the pitch of like, let's make a fun children's game about people dying is pretty fucking weird and strange. But then, you know, me especially being a big board game fan, I mostly now all of my thoughts are just about, is this a good game or not? And it seems like we all were basically under the same opinion, which is playing board games with your friends is fun. So we had a fun time playing it. The actual game sucks and is pretty, it's like, you know, it's as simple as, like a Chutes and Ladders or a Candyland. But it took us like 2.5 hours or
it's
something?
It's crazy. Like,
so
I'm not a big board game fan. I've always said, Justin, you made me really love and appreciate board games. And I love playing them with you. And I've played some ones that are would be way beyond my capacity to play sort of by myself or with other people. And some are really complicated, but I don't think I've ever played one that took 2.5 hours. Like the haunted house game we play, Betrayal. Well, I can never remember the fucking name.
Betrayal at House on the Hill. It's a clunky name.
That doesn't take 2.5 hours, right?
No, yeah, you can crank out a game and, yeah, a quick 60,
and that's an amazingly
minutes.
Complicated game where you build a house and then it all switches halfway through. It's amazing. But no, that's fun and takes like 90 minutes. This was frustrating. It took 2.5 hours. I mean, I think it took us like 1 hour and 20 minutes to get out of second class.
Yeah, which the second class part is, yeah, it's just, it's nothing. It's just rolling a single die and going around and occasionally yep. getting exploited for money by other passengers. And that's it. And I will say the good things about this game, like if you want to just like Google it right now, you can see the pictures. The board, beautiful. It's like a big, yeah. you know, big thing of the ship. There's all these different rooms. Everybody's first impression was like, oh, this looks like Clue. Is it going to be like Clue?
Yeah.
Are we going to be like discovering the secret of the Titanic or something? No, but it looks nice. It's colorful. All the rooms have their own special thing. We all got to play as individual characters. Like, my guy's name was Lucky. I'm like a Spanish guy who we found out was addicted to gambling. And like all of my gossip and stories were about like what I learned in the casino rooms, which is like, oh, that's kind of fun. Also, like, you're collecting your personal property, which is all like personalized for each character. We all had our own foldable passports.
Yeah, those were cool with like real information in them.
Yeah.
Like, they all had different types of handwriting, or like some were handwritten, some were done with a typewriter. They were all like, yeah, it wasn't just like, oh, this is a green one and a red one, and they're all the same template. Yeah.
Yeah, so like all that was cool, and like we said, yeah, the rule book looks like an old-timey brochure for the Titanic, which does include a bunch of Titanic facts. So it's like they clearly, I mean, this is, and people still do this now, but this was also very much a prime time of board games of like, hey, there's like 5 types of board games. There's like Monopoly-esque, there's Chutes and Ladders-esque, and there's like a couple others, and we just do it, and you just re-skin it. You're just like, this one's Titanic yeah. themed, so we like focus more on like the art of the cards and the board. But yeah, nobody had invented a new style of gameplay since like Catan, and then they wouldn't again for a couple more years. So this is just like, it's a nothing game. It's not very fun. I do not recommend playing it unless you're a big fan of the history of the Titanic. But even then, you might have a problem because I can't imagine most of the stuff we experienced was pretty accurate.
No, yeah, I really doubt it. There wasn't much Titanic lore, really. As we were saying, this could have been any ship. It just could have been like, it's more like the game of life, right? Like, I don't, the game of life, you kind of have to like go through and like get achievements and
totally.
Work your way up. And yeah, that's maybe what it feels more like. But yeah, besides just some mild branding, it just, yeah, just could have been ship the board game.
Totally. And I feel like that's something that we've been discovering in Catastanic Month is pretty yeah, much any yeah. story aboard the Titanic could just be a story on a sinking ship.
Well, because there's only one story. Like,
right.
It's not like that's it. Like the Titanic is a ship and it's special because it sank.
Yeah.
You know, so like what you could just do that on any ship.
Yeah.
There, the one story has been told. You can't really expand it. The Titanic movie from 1997 does a nice little job of expanding it through some fictional characters to give us a feel for what it was like. But that's it. It's the one story.
Yep, that's it.
This just avoids it, too, which is crazy.
Yeah, I was very surprised, which even though, you know, if our take on this game is how weird and fucked up it is to make a fun children's game based on a real tragedy, it still felt disappointing for the fact that the ship was sinking is like not really a part of the game.
Yeah.
Like technically yeah. at the end, you're sprinting to lifeboats at the end, but it's not like, you know, there wasn't a mechanic where, oh, every turn the ship gets slowly filled with more water.
Right.
So if you're still back in second class, you drown, which is like crazy and fucked up, but would be kind of fun and exciting.
Yeah.
This one is just like, you're still like, as you're sprinting to the lifeboat, it's like, ooh, the captain lets you sit at his dinner table yeah, tonight. Yeah. And it's like, aren't we like, dying?
You like win a bodybuilding competition.
Yeah, our buddy Paul, I think, won two or three weightlifting competitions because yeah. he kept going backwards. Yeah. Yeah, just really, really silly.
Yeah.
Steve, do you have any favorite highlights or memories from our 17-hour journey playing this board game the other day?
I think it was, what was really fun about it was that I think the most exciting part was that we did sort of, people were in the lead and then would just, because the mechanics of the game are so sloppy, get just knocked so far back.
Totally.
Which really made that kind of exciting because we had no idea who was going to win. And that's not like it's because it's good. It's just because the game is bad. And right. Like, it's really easy to land on a square and it's like, well, sorry, you're totally back at the beginning of the fucking board.
Yeah.
Good luck with your one die rolling and getting this person to a lifeboat.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was like maybe the funnest part, because besides that, it's just, yeah, it's kind of grueling.
It is. And I mean, definitely, like, we definitely made the game more fun than it was on its own, because
yeah.
We started implementing a thing where by the end, it was clear that Captain Steve and First Mate Ellen were our only two likely people to get off the ship. Paul and I were struggling hanging out in first and second class. But we eventually made it where instead of them taking their individual turns, we're like, fuck it, you guys roll at the same time. It's like an old Western duel, and whoever can get onto their ship the first, you would get off. But then once again, because the game is so random and there's no strategy, it was literally, there's a section right outside of the lifeboats, and Steve and Ellen were just running in circles. So you're just trying to picture them, like, not getting on the lifeboat that is 5 feet away from them. God, yes. Yeah, it's just a silly, silly game.
Yeah, absolutely.
Steve,
I'm trying to remember my character. Oh, sorry, what was my character's name? Do you remember your character's name?
I remember his nickname was Lucky.
Lucky.
You were Su Yen?
Su Yen, right? I was a Japanese woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you needed seasick pills.
There was something like that.
It was weird amount of details, because also a big part of this game, there's like five things you need to get, and some of them make sense. Like, you need to get your passport, you need to get your room key, and then one of them is like, you need to go get a health inspection done. Like, one of the things you need to get is your life vest.
Yeah.
Getting a life vest makes sense. And one of them is like, oh, and stop by the doctor to make sure you don't have the mumps. And it's like, what?
And that's the weirdest. Maybe the most interesting and creative mechanism is that if you land on a space with someone else and they don't have their health check yet, you lose your health card to them.
Yeah, like, it's like you the dirty person infects the clean person or something.
Yeah, something. It's weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I was trying to be like, what is this trying to say? Because when I first read the rules, I was like, separate from the fact that it's a game about trying to not die in the Titanic, it's also a game where clearly, you know, if you are in second class or steerage, it's like really bad, which obviously like is true in reality. Like, it was not great conditions, but the game very much felt like the only way you can be good is if you are a first class passenger. And if you're anything less, you lose. It's like,
yeah,
damn.
Like imagine like a game of like, hey, it's New York City, the game. You start in a, like at a shelter.
Right.
like you're a migrant in a shelter.
Yeah.
Work your way up to a skyscraper.
Yeah. Go to the projects and then get a co-op and then.
Yeah.
Yeah. It definitely was like, yeah, if you are rich and lucky, you can survive.
Right.
And if you're poor and stinky, you're going to drown. So, Steve, you want to hear a little bit about how this game came to be?
I'm very curious. I know why, you know, money and opportunity and lack of creativity. But yeah, let's find out how we got on this crazy board game.
So, like a lot of weird, obscure things that clearly popped up for one reason, there's not a ton of story to tell. You can probably already guess it. This game came out in 1998, as we said, clearly motivated by the success of the movie. It was published by Universal Games. It was designed by a lady called Sandra Gentry and Valen Brost. And when I first heard that it was made by Universal Games, I was like, wait, like Universal Studios? Wasn't Titanic like Paramount or 20th Century Fox? So I was like, that doesn't make sense. And as I was looking up these two game designers, Sandra Gentry literally can't find anything about her.
Okay.
But Valen Brost, one of the other designers, it turns out that he's actually the founder of Universal Games, which is a very small family-owned game company.
Okay.
So I'm assuming that the other lady is like a friend or relative, because pretty much everybody that seems employed by this company is just like friends and family.
Right.
He, Valen Brost, had an indie hit in the 80s called Solar Quest, which is like cool little board game. You're like buying the planets and moons of our solar system. It's pretty
cool.
But that was like the 80s, and he kind of like didn't really have any like things that were popping off in stores until like 1998. So it was like a decade. I have to imagine that he had another job. Like this was probably more of a passion project. But then when he made this game, it sort of went from like, you know, kind of like literally designing board games like in his house and then getting like a small warehouse to produce a couple. When this game came out, it sold in 1998 300,000 copies.
Whoa.
In
that's
1998.
Really big, right?
Yeah. It was in the top five board games sold at Toys R Us in 1998.
Holy shit. So that's like up there with Monopoly and Trouble or whatever the most popular ones are. I'm surprised by that.
I know.
Wow. They were right.
They were right.
And also, do you know stats on board games? Like, is that like, crazy to sell that many?
I mean, that's like really good. It's like, you know, that wouldn't be good if like Hasbro put all their money into a new game. But I mean, I don't know. I have to imagine, you know, like Catan has sold millions of copies, but in one year to sell 300,000 even seems impressive for Catan. So, I mean, that's.
I bet it was just that thing where it's like every kid, you know, was like into Titanic and you're just in Toys R Us, like, oh, $24.95, sure, throw it under the Christmas tree, or like,
totally.
They're going to love this for their birthday, or just get them more Titanic shit.
Yeah, and that's the thing I was also trying to figure out, because it's clearly able to be played by kids, because it's all luck, and you know, some of the maybe nuance of the rumors and gossip and telegrams might go over their head, but each one is really just a chance card that says pay or receive $50, so you don't really have to understand what it means to like get caviar for the gala. It's just like,
right. And I could see too, as a kid, because you, when you read the instructions, like, again, I don't play a lot of games, but they also seemed like the instructions seemed long.
They were
for this and pretty complicated, because I think you reading the instructions took about 20 minutes.
Yeah,
but it seemed like too complicated for kids. But then I could also imagine just like, because when I was a kid, I'd never read the board game rules. I just was like, I'd roll the dice and run around. And I think you could just, if you were like 6 or 7, you could probably do that with this game, especially the back half of it.
Totally.
And just kind of play it like shoots and
ladders. Yeah, because it's a straight line. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I also have to imagine that there was so many adults who now were just like fucking Titanic pilled. Just like, oh, I can play my favorite movie? And as we said, in 2012, they did a re-release of the game for the Centennial Edition, which is what we played. Mm-hmm. And I actually got to say, when I was looking at like which one should I buy, because I was looking on eBay for the original 1998 ones, I'm like, oh, that'd be cool. But then the Centennial Collector's Edition, I'm like, well, I can pay a little bit more for the Collector's Edition. It's pretty much the same, but then
it just comes with the fact sheet.
Yeah, it's got the facts. But then I also noticed, I was looking after the fact at the original board game, and that one, like the individual players are like actual like carved models.
Oh,
and
really?
Some other cool stuff. And I was like, oh shit, maybe I should have gotten the original.
Oh yeah, we just got dumb little pegs, like generic.
Yeah, like little like sorry little.
Yeah. Noodles. Oh dang.
I know. Literally one of the only difference thing that I could notice is that the telegram room looked different in ours. Like ours looked a little old school and the original one looked different. And for some reason I was like, I like the old school telegram room, so I'll buy this one for an extra $20.
Yeah, looking at it now, it's pretty similar, but
pretty
yeah,
much
little,
the
little,
same.
A little different.
When it came out, there were two main critiques. And it's pretty much...
Really? I wonder what they were.
It's exactly the two that we had. One, gameplay, not that interesting. It takes too long for a game that's this simple. Rolling one die is your only gameplay mechanic. Not very fun. Mostly luck-based. And some parts are legitimately frustrating for no reason. But then, just like we said, people were fascinated and a bit offended by the concept as a whole. Tom Snyder for the Mansfield News Journal praised the game's artwork and presentation, which, you know, we agree. It looks pretty
nice.
Sure,
yeah.
But Tom was uncomfortable with the concept of turning a tragedy into a game, finding, quote, the subject matter and the game's object unsettling. I felt like I was belittling the memories of those who suffered during this disaster. And then he described the gameplay as a bizarre mix of the stagnant meeting the complex, which sounds about right. Like, the rules, there are too many rules, and also there needed to only be one, which is roll a die. Now, you know, the game, I always have this weird thing where, you know, if you're big into board games, you might know that BoardGameGeek.com is sort of like It's the IMDb of board games. So you go there and like games have like official ratings out of 10, and that's like usually pretty accurate in terms of like, is this actually a good game or is this like a weird little blip?
Yeah.
This one has like, I don't know, like a 5 out of 10 or something. Okay. So it's kind of like, people are like, it's not the worst, but it's kind of nothing. But then it's funny, you go on like, you know, the Amazon link and it's got like 4.7 stars out of 5. And everybody's just like, so fun. Like, my kids loved it.
Yeah.
And I'm always like, yeah, you probably played it once and thought it was cute and then probably never played it again. Yeah. I cannot imagine playing this game a second time.
I was just about to say the exact same thing. Like, getting through it, just like, okay, finally, we're fucking done. But I'm never like, yeah, if you were just, you know, I don't know, maybe if a big Titanic head came over to your place, you're like, all right, sure. They want someone else suggest it. Like, oh, we'll do it. Sure. We got 3 hours to kill. But yeah. No.
I feel like I would get the same joy out of just sort of like someone comes over and they're like, what, a Titanic game? I'm like, yeah, here, look at the art. Here, read through some of the gossip cards. Yeah, isn't this funny? Yeah. That's it.
Yeah.
To actually play it seems insane. And to replay it seems even crazier.
Totally.
But as we talked about at the top of the show, this is not the only Titanic board game. There are actually many.
Many?
Many.
Wow.
On Board Game Geek, I found a curated list of 24 Titanic board games that have come out.
Wow. 24.
Some of them dating back to like, some of them date back to like the 1920s.
Really?
And some are coming out last year.
That's crazy.
From the get-go, people were like, we got to turn this into something fun.
Wow.
Steve, can I read you some of the highlights from this list?
Let me know. I looked up a couple, but hit me.
Starting off strong with this German game called 24 Days Escape, 3D Advance Calendar, Sherlock Holmes und die Last Fahrt der Titanic.
Okay, Fart the Titanic, what?
Fart der Titanic.
So what I heard in there was that it's German, it's an advent calendar, and something about farts.
Yep.
Okay.
That's pretty much it.
What the fuck is this?
I mean, already, yeah, even from the title, you can get a couple amazing choices. One, Sherlock Holmes is aboard the Titanic
right,
in this.
Sherlock Holmes, yeah, of course.
You're trying to solve a mystery aboard the ship.
Okay.
And then, you know, as if the ship crashing wasn't enough, there's mystery and clues you have to solve, something, it's unclear. But obviously, yeah, most importantly, the reason it's a 24 days escape, which also doesn't make sense, it was only 4 days on the ocean, but it's 24 days escape, is that it is an advent calendar. You open each of the 24 rooms aboard the ship, one a day until you solve the mystery.
That's not a game.
I know. I think it's like at the end, now you have all the pieces and you're like, put it together. It's like one of those like, you know, like home escape room board games where you have to like now put it all together.
Right. Yeah. This is just so mind-boggling.
It's so, it's like five concepts in one.
Again, yeah, because we're talking about things don't have to be Titanic based. This doesn't even have to be Sherlock. It's so weird.
Yeah.
Okay.
It could have been any detective on any ship, but nope. It's Sherlock Holmes, Titanic, Christmas.
You're crazy for this one, Germany.
We have another. Say what?
Well, it was from the 70s.
This is from 2022.
2022? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
You know, things got weird after the pandemic. We were like, what is art?
So, yeah.
What is commerce? Another one that's sort of a funky take on a game is we have one called Dinner on the RMS Titanic, which came out in 2008, which is both a game and a box set to actually have a dinner party with your friends. It comes with some props and tools to set up a dinner with your friends in your house, like you're on the Titanic. It comes with a CD you can play that like plays music and like, you know, background Foley.
Okay.
It's got some trivia that you can play while you're having your dinner.
Food, or are you supposed to make food?
I think it like gives you a menu, which you have to make real food, but it gives you like fake dinner props and candles and stuff.
I wonder if it gives you the menu of the actual Titanic food, because like that's really famous. You know, you can look up the menu. For it's all weird shit that you've never heard of before, like chipped beef in like duck gravy or whatever. Like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah, like creamed pork.
Yes, a, like, a selection of cold meats.
Yeah. Well, if you want to experience what dinner aboard the luxurious Titanic was like, make sure to pick up that game.
Again, just could have been Fancy Dinner Party, the game.
Yep. I know. I'm like, does the CD it comes with end? Like, is the last track just like screaming
bells
and
ringing and fucking go, go, go? You just those guys playing like as they go down.
right.
Jesus Christ. Okay.
Here's another interesting one. There's a Japanese game also from 2008 called Titanic. The pitch is you're trying to move survivors from the wreck and place them into lifeboats while avoiding icebergs. But here's how you move the survivors with chopsticks. So it's like a dexterity game.
Okay.
So like literally like kind of like Jenga where it's like if they fall over, if they hit an iceberg or something.
Sure.
Which from a gameplay perspective, pretty cool. But is even this is probably the most ridiculous in terms of like, I'm picking up a woman and a child with chopsticks and oh no, they dropped in the Atlantic.
Isn't that hard to do to pick up a figurine with chopsticks?
I don't know.
Are they like slippery? That's weird. Like it's like you think, and this is a Chinese game?
It's a Japanese game.
Sorry, Japanese game. They're very good with chopsticks over there.
It's true.
Yeah. So very strange.
Yeah, maybe it's just a game to like make fun of American people who can't use chopsticks.
Oh, truly. Or maybe it's for kids to get their chopstick dexterity up, you know?
That's actually probably what it is. Yeah, it's probably, I mean, because the art style is also super cartoony. So it seems like,
right.
A six-year-old trying to use chopsticks.
Okay.
Here's an amazing one. I'm just going to tell you the title. You tell me if you can give me the one-sentence pitch.
Okay, great.
It's called Monster Liner.
Okay, let me guess. Monsters on the Titanic? Are we talking some classic? We got a Frankenstein's monster, Dracula, Wolfman, Ghost?
You absolutely nailed it. Here's the official pitch. A luxury liner, the Titanic, hits an iceberg and begins to sink. Unfortunately, some of the world's great monsters that had been captured and placed on the boat as part of the liner's entertainment, a giant ape, a vampire, a fish man, a wolf man, a mummy, and a man monster.
A man roam monster. Free.
Yeah, I think, the man monster, I think that's Frankenstein. Vampire, we got Dracula. Wolf man is wolf man.
King Kong.
Fish man, I guess, is like creature from the Black Lagoon or something. It's up to the stalwart heroes who captured these creatures the first time to take them down permanently. And they have to do it amongst fleeing passengers, unsuspecting maidens, and frantic crew. Oh, and before the ship sinks.
First of all, this sounds fucking great. I would love to play this game. What year is this?
I don't know, actually. I didn't write it down. Monster Liner game.
Isn't this like the third Hotel Transylvania movie? Don't they go on a cruise ship in one of those?
I think they do.
Has a lawsuit here, either the game or Hotel Transylvania. I mean, that sounds fun. I'd love to see that movie.
Yeah, no, that's a great movie.
Yeah.
They captured monsters for on-boat entertainment.
It sounds like, you know, that sounds like some King Kong era shit, you know? People just do that.
Sure, sure.
They had human zoos back in the time of the Titanic, so... You could go to the Bronx and see a human in a cage.
Yeah, there you go.
At the same time. So it's not outside the realm of possibility, except for the monsters part. But if there were monsters, I'm sure they would have been featured on the Titanic. So this is the most realistic one yet, I think.
Right. This one gets the stamp of approval.
At least it makes sense. I get what they're trying to do.
Right. And it's also, you know, it's an original take. Do something weird. Here's one of the most unique takes on a Titanic board game, and potentially the most appropriate, because it's not actually about playing as people who fucking died. It's called Raise the Titanic from 1987.
Cool.
And in this one, you play as marine archaeologists who are trying to literally raise the Titanic from the seafloor and recover important pieces of history and artifacts. Unfortunately, it does seem like the main way you get points is by then like plundering and selling all the artifacts.
Ooh, so, what else are you going to do with them?
They belong in a museum.
Yeah, you sell them to the museum.
Yeah, you sell them for a quick buck. But there is actually like a physical spring-loaded ship which slowly raises up out of the board. More practical, tactile things in board games, folks.
Kids games always seem to have that more than adult games. Like it's some kind of thing. You just don't do that with an adult board game, but you totally should. Those things are so much fun.
They're so fun.
Make a mousetrap that works.
Yeah, dude. The amount of times that... I don't know if I've ever played the game Mousetrap, but I've set up the whole board and just watched it Rube Goldberg 500 times.
Yeah, totally.
And, of course, there is a Titanic, the movie, the board game.
There is.
Here's the description. Here's the official description, which immediately right off the bat, Jesus Christ. Holy ship, we're sinking. The Titanic has just struck the iceberg and she's sinking fast. Play as Jack, Rose, Cal, Ruth, or the captain as you race around the ship saving as many passengers as possible before the ship is completely submerged. You'll make life and death decisions on every turn, choosing among saving passengers, upgrading your capabilities to save more next turn, or snagging point cards to relive nostalgic moments from the movie.
Cool. I'm looking at this. It looks cool.
I mean, it's very well made.
Yeah.
I just love the fact that it's like, all right, you have two choices. You can save passengers, you can save women and children, or you can relive the moment where they fuck in a car.
Yeah. It's like,
how do you want to spend your turn?
It's like the dinner set one and comes with a piece of glass that you have to like fog up and then strip right. down. So what I've discovered from all of this, these games that you've just told me about, is that we played the worst Titanic game. Everything else is. I would rather have like done the German fart advent calendar. We just like both woke up in the morning every day and opened it up. And then the monsters one sounds cool. This movie one just sounds crazy. Titanic the movie, the board game.
Yeah,
that's like the Spaceballs joke.
I know. I mean, we played the most successful one and the lamest one. For
yeah.
Sure.
Dang! It was it. So the Titanic the movie, the board game was not successful.
Not by any means. I don't remember when it came out. Oh, it looks like this came out in 2020. That's their fucking mistake.
That's why. There we go.
Guys, you're a little late. And like I said, there's many more than those. There's one called Murder on the Titanic,
cool.
which is a mystery jigsaw puzzle.
A mystery jigsaw puzzle? Is that the thing?
Dude, it's so weird how like so many of these games are like, what if it's a board game and also a dance? It's like, what?
Yeah.
Just make a good board game, weirdos. Yeah. There's a
Wait,
really
isn't
infamous
every puzzle
one.
A mystery? Sorry. They're literally the same word. They've got the same meaning.
That's really funny. Yeah, it is true. There's a really infamous one called Sinking of the Titanic, which is from the 70s.
Oh,
which
I
is just
saw
like,
that one, yeah.
Yeah, that's like the real cartoony one, and there's just like babies falling into the water, and you're
cool.
trying to help them. dude, there's one called Sink the Titanic, and players play as icebergs.
That rules. That's great. Damn.
So crazy.
Holy
yeah, that one
shit.
Seems fun. But as you could probably guess, board games are not the only medium to turn the Titanic into fun. There have only been a small amount of video games that have come out as well. One of the more successful ones was one called Titanic Adventure Out of Time, which was a computer game from 1996, which is actually, so it was like before the movie.
Wow,
so it's
yeah.
kind of doing its own thing. It's like one of those like kind of like point and click adventure games, like
sure.
the old school ones. The pitch is so fucking crazy, Steve. Here it is. You play as a British spy who is sent back in time
Sick.
To the night the Titanic sank in order to not save the Titanic, to complete a previously failed mission that's meant to prevent World War I, the Russian Revolution, and World War II. And if you're wondering how one would prevent World War II if the Titanic is like 30 years previous, let me tell you, it involves saving a painting from sinking, making the painting very famous because it was aboard the Titanic. The painting was painted by Adolf Hitler, so he becomes a famous painter instead of becoming Hitler if you save his painting.
Okay, so you don't have to kill baby Hitler. You just have to encourage him.
You have to,
him
yeah.
a little bit.
Right, you have to give him a pat on the back.
That's well. I mean, you know, I think just by stopping World War I, you stop World War II.
That's a great
right?
point.
That's right. Yeah. Just by it, just happens that way. Okay. So then, I guess you ultimately fail. No matter, like those things are going to happen. I guess
right.
in the world of the game, they don't. You could save the painting by saving everybody. By just like going
yeah,
and tapping the captain on the shoulder and be like, left, just go left,
bit left
now, just
yeah.
a little bit more.
Port side.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. Also, one thing I got to say is like, weirdly enough, like the idea of British time travelers, I'm like, they could never do that. I don't know why. I'm just like, they could never get there.
That's true. I also, whenever I think of like a British time machine, in my head, it's steampunk.
Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, totally, right? H.G. Wells. Was he British or American? British.
There's also a game called Titanic Honor and Glory, which is apparently like a hyper realistic, like 3D full render of the interior of the Titanic. Apparently they've been working on it for like 10 years and like you can kind of just hop in and like sort of play the beta at any point.
Okay.
And originally I think it was supposed to be like a narrative game, but I think they sort of scrapped that. And now it's just kind of one of those just like simulators where it's like, hey, we actually painstakingly rebuilt the entirety of the Titanic in this game.
That's cool.
And apparently it's like really cool. It's just kind of like a 3D architectural experience. And it's like, yeah, that's interesting.
I like that.
You know, there's no time travel or Nazis, but it could be cool.
Yeah. Why not? Just chill out. I think people like chill games now, right? People like just have they like do. An experiential, what's that? Absolutely. Animal Crossing, right? That's like the
yeah.
big chill game. You can just sit around.
Yeah. And there's also an unofficial NES game called Titanic with an E instead of an A, so they didn't get sued, which was made just after the movie came out. It's like a silly side scroller you play as Jack and Rose.
Oh, it's pretty silly. Yeah, it's kind of just like an indie game sort of, right?
Yeah, someone like unofficially ported it to the NES. So folks, all of this to say, if you want to play on the famous Titanic ship, you got options, folks.
Yeah, you can get in there. You can do all kinds of shit. You can fight monsters. You can go back in time. You can stop Hitler. Rules.
You can be an iceberg. Anything's possible.
Yeah, totally. The Titanic is just you can project whatever you want onto it. It's something different to everybody else. It all represents something inside of us.
Aw,
yeah,
it's beautiful.
I think so. Yeah. It's like Christmas.
Yeah. And speaking of Christmas, make sure to use a special code DISASTERPIECE when you're buying the fart calendar.
Yeah, totally. We should get
this
that.
This holiday season.
Maybe we'll get that. We'll just.
I love advent calendars. And
me
the
too.
Stupider the better.
Absolutely.
I remember growing up, I just had one year I got this like Lego one where there was just like a different Lego dude in each day.
Oh, fun.
It's like the greatest month of my life.
Hey, Justin, I got a question for you.
Yeah.
If you had to pick another disaster to design a board game after. No, I've looked it up. There's actually a few other ones based on other disasters. What disaster do you think you could base a board game on and make it at least offensive as possible?
Sure. I mean, I think one of the tricks to being the least offensive is, you know, obviously time is the great healer of wounds. So the further back a thing, and I mean, I guarantee a couple already exist, but I think I could design a really great Pompeii board game.
Yeah, I'm seeing there's a few. There's one called The Downfall of Pompeii, which, yeah, seems fun, very complicated. That could be cool because that would have a cool mechanic in it. You could even have like a baking soda volcano.
Totally. Yeah. Like we said, more practical stuff in board games.
Yeah.
And I actually really like a board game that has a time element.
Yeah.
Because most games do not. And I mean like literal time, like not just like, oh, there's 10 rounds as in like, oh, you start a timer for an hour and slowly the board gets covered in a red goo. And if you're too far back, you get fucking turned into goo. So yeah, I would do that.
Do you
have any pitches?
I don't know. I was thinking about it. Like obviously going back, I mean, I think the first major disaster is probably like when the dinosaurs were exterminated. You go back.
Oh my God,
the
meteor. That'd be
cool. The meteor could be coming down. You got to like, I don't know. Get your dinosaurs acclimated to water so they turn into crocodiles and survive millions of more years. I think you could do that. I think, I don't know why, but I'm like, is there a game around the Kennedy assassination? Because there's so much conspiracy wrapped up in it. And like, maybe it's more like a, like solving the mystery instead of like playing the actual events of it.
Sure.
But you could have like a Clue-like game where you are trying to figure out like who actually killed Kennedy.
Or you do like the kind of like the Stephen King book where it's like it keeps happening and you have to keep going back in time and trying to get it perfect.
I don't know if there's any other like, obviously no one's going to do a 9/11 game.
No, give it a couple decades.
There must be something out there.
There's probably some like, yeah,
Steam
some video games.
Some
like amateur video games.
For sure. Yeah. I don't know if there'd be like, I'm trying to think of like a modern disaster, like how far back you'd have to go.
I mean, there's definitely ones that aren't as terrifyingly disastrous, you know, like the famous like molasses flood or the London beer flood.
Right. Yeah. Like a
very
fire.
Slow moving disaster. The Chicago fire or something. I mean, you know, just the classic game of, hey, we have a balloon. We have to keep it up in the air as long as possible.
Yeah.
Hindenburg, baby.
Of course. That could be cool because maybe like you have a little bit of helium in the balloon, so it kind of stays up. But then you have a propeller on it, and you have to keep like, keeping it up.
And then it always ends like it does have to combust at the end, and there's a fire.
Right. There is a pandemic board game.
That is very true. And I actually interviewed the designer of that game, and that's probably like one of the most successful. That's probably the most successful disaster board game.
Yeah, right. I see that. I mean, I don't even know much about board games, and I feel like I see that everywhere.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And obviously, it had a little bit of a resurgence a couple years ago for some reason.
I wonder why. It was almost like thematically it was on point and people were stuck inside playing games. All right, since that wraps up the history, we are going to go a little bit back in time because after we played the game with our friends Paul and Ellen, we got their live reactions after our two and a half hour quest on the Titanic. So let's hear what Paul and Ellen had to say about their experience. Post-game interview here. You lost today. you think you'll ever play this game again?
I mean, no, because I don't own it, and there are so many other games here that I'm sure we would play before we chose to play this one.
Right.
But I loved being on a boat.
Paul, first reactions?
It's not fun. We had a lot of fun with each other playing it, but yeah, there's no strategy. There's also really no thing, like I thought the ship sinking would come into play. That didn't really, there's no like outsmarting each other or like trying to steal from each other. So it feels like they left a lot of money on the table for like this could have been a better game.
That makes sense.
Yeah, wraps yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
It's fun to sit around a table with your friends. There are more fun options than Titanic, the board game.
Absolutely.
Centennial Collector's Edition.
But Justin, now it's time for our reaction to it, which we've been talking about. But as we do on these disaster piece episodes where we're not talking about a movie, we like to put the weird pop culture oddity that we discussed on the disaster scale. The disaster scale works like this. 1, it's not really a disaster. 10, complete, total, utter disaster. Justin, where do you put Titanic, the board game, the Centennial Edition on the disaster scale?
You know, it's as a board game fan, I really didn't enjoy it. But I mean, even then, like going over some of the other Titanic board games or things that have popped up, and the fact that this thing was a commercial success made by a like small fam, like you know, like a mom and pop board game shop, I kind of think like even though I hated playing it, it is not really that disastrous, and also not the most offensive of Titanic-based board games.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to give it, I'm going to give it 2 life vests out of 10.
Dang, that's not enough for the Titanic, but yeah.
It's not a great game, but in terms of disasters, it could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, I agree with you. Like, obviously it did well. It's obviously offensive in its conceit, but It does that thing where it's like we want to be the Titanic, but we want to avoid being the Titanic, avoid the tragedy of the Titanic, which it just makes no sense whatsoever. So that's just kind of makes it sort of boring, you know.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I'm going to push it up a little more, and I'm going to give it 4 lifeboats out of 10 on the disaster scale, which I think that's how many the Titanic had, was about 4 lifeboats, right? That's all they needed.
Enough.
They didn't need them.
It's unsinkable.
I'm going to push it up to a 4 just because, like, the experience of the game is pretty brutal. I'm glad that it made money. I'm glad that it was, like, an independent game that did really, really well. But, like, it's not fun. Play it with your funnest friends, and you might have a good time. But, don't break this out to sort of kill the silence of a weird family gathering or something, because it'll just make it worse.
It's true. And if you are at a Goodwill or a garage sale and you see the original 1998 one for $2.99, sure, pick it up, take a peek through it, play once, throw it out.
Yeah, then send it to us. We want that one.
Yeah, we want that one. And do not buy the Centennial Collector's Edition from Amazon for full price. Don't recommend it.
Well, that pretty much wraps it up, and we have to give a huge thank you to Ellen Gutowski and Paul Ramsdell for sitting down with us and spending an entire beautiful Sunday afternoon indoors playing Titanic, the board game. Thank you both so, so much. We want to thank you for listening. And if you love the show, please share it with your friends. Throw it up on Instagram. Also, Justin, if people want to see a live version of this show, where can they do that?
Folks, Disaster Piece happens every third Sunday of the month in Brooklyn, New York, at a venue called Wonderville. It's a great time. We might not be playing board games, but we're going to be watching some of the weirdest, worst, best movies of all time. If you're listening to this on the day of release, we just watched one of the craziest movies ever made yesterday. Mm-hmm. But make sure to come out and check us out in May, because it's going to get even sillier. So come out to the live shows, and if you want to know about those, make sure to follow the Instagram at disasterpiece_movie_night, where you can keep up to date with this show, the live show, and everything in between. And Steve, if people want to know specifically what you are up to, how can they do that?
I'll be, if you need to find me, I'll be sitting in a lifeboat for 2 days with a fiercely independent Japanese woman. But when I'm, if you can't find me there, just go to my website. It's stevejhward.com. That's where all the stuff I made is at. And you can look at it and make fun of it if you want, like we do to other things on this show. Justin, if people want to get to know you a little bit better and find your work, where can they do that?
I guess they'll find me at the craps table, losing all my money that I earned in turn of the century Spain. And then in several decades when the internet is invented, you can go to justindodd.rocks to see all the stuff that I've been doing. And folks, don't forget, we got one more week of Catastanic, baby.
Yeah, and baby, next week, it's coming back.
Dude, they thought it was never going to happen.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. Justin, what are we talking about next week?
Titanic 2.
It's real.
It's real.
It sucks. Yeah. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. And until next time.
It's an unsinkable game.